We're starting a study on the book of Daniel. We had finished Ezekiel, but the Lord strongly led me just to continue right into Daniel. I was going to save Daniel, study of Daniel, for the morning because we've got a lot of in-depth Bible prophecy here, but the Lord indicated, no, stay with this. So I am. Our first lesson out of Daniel's Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 21, choosing to obey God in a godless culture. As believers living in a spiritually decaying, godless culture today, we need to live affirmatively in victory over sin. Affirmatively means positively in the sense of not always being negatively reactionary. We need to live affirmatively for the Lord. Daniel, as a young man, was taken captive by godless Babylonians. We believe that Daniel would have been around 17 years of age. It's difficult to tell, but he was fairly young at this time, as far as life is concerned. A young man. And he lived through Persia's conquest of Babylon 70 years later. So he served the Lord in righteousness and wisdom amid a godless culture as a great example for us. So we view Daniel 1:1-21 on how he chose to obey the Lord in a godless culture. And we do it for our insight. You talk about peer pressure. Daniel faced it in an enormous degree. I want to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 21. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into Jerusalem, and he besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the temple of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom there was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, and skillful in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the language of the Babylonians, which would have been Aramaic. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and unto Mishael of Meshach, and at Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat, your food, and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse favorable than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Meltzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, just 10 days. Let them give us pulsti, that would be things that are grown with seeds, that would be grains and vegetables, and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children of thee, either the portion of the king's food. And as you see, deal with your servants. So he consented unto them in this matter, and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their faces appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Meltzar took away the portion of their food, and the wine which they should drink, and gave them vegetables and grains. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even under the first year of King Cyrus. The first year of King Cyrus, incidentally, was the year when the first group of captives went back to the land. So Daniel actually lived to see that. Well, Daniel faced a number of very unwelcome, intense pagan pressures to live in ungodliness, peer pressure. First, he faced the unwelcome, traumatic invasion of his nation by a foreign pagan empire. And of course, he would have been taken captive. Now, that's the last thing you want to do, be taken captive. When you're young and you have your whole life in front of you, the last thing you want to do is be taken captive by a foreign nation. You're loyal to your country. You want to live in your own country. So this would have been traumatic. And then Daniel then faced the demeaning treatment of his God when the Babylonians placed some of his temple's holy vessels in the temple of the Babylonian pagan God's temple, thereby signifying the conquest of Bel over God and Babylonian culture. When we read this, we think, okay, he took some vessels and put them in the temple of his God, so what? Well, that's a big thing in Daniel's day. That means that the Babylonians were claiming that their God had conquered Daniel's God. So there's a theological battle that is going on. It's really big. Then Daniel faced unwelcome pressure to ingest unbiblical food and drink. The Babylonians sacrificed the meat that they ate to their false gods. And Exodus 34, verse 15 directed that such food was sinful for the Hebrew people to ingest. And I know there is a lady in our church who, because Daniel chose to eat vegetables and rather than meat, that she's become a vegetarian. And I've tried to clarify with her, Daniel was not a vegetarian because he wanted to be a vegetarian. He chose to be a vegetarian because he knew the vegetables were not, and the grains were not sacrificed to the pagan gods. The meat was, and he didn't want to disobey the Lord. So that's why. Anyway, the Babylonians' wines were the strong drink that was condemned in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, and Isaiah chapter 5, verse 11, where the Hebrews watered down their wines with 3 or some to 6 or even to 10 parts water to wine. That's why the Jews stayed away from strong drink. You could still get, theoretically, you could still get drunk on the wine if you drank a lot of it. You'd have to drink lots and lots of it. But when it was watered down like the Jews did, it was very much more difficult to get drunk. When it was ripe, when it was unwatered down, then yeah, it was kind of like, had the consistency, had the alcoholic content roughly of beer, is naturally fermented. It wasn't distilled. Well, Daniel then faced the unwelcome godly change of his name. His Hebrew name, Daniel, meant God is my judge. Daniel means my judge, and El is short for Elohim. My judge is Elohim. Where the Babylonian name Belteshazzar, given him, meant lady, protect the king in honor of a pagan goddess. Probably the Babylonian goddess by the name of Ishtar. So you can imagine this would have really grated Daniel. But he had no choice. They gave him the name, and that's what he was supposed to live by. So, with all of this, Daniel couldn't change the fact that they changed his name. He couldn't change the fact that he'd been captured. He couldn't change the fact that they'd taken the vessels of his God and put in the other God. But he could change the fact about what he could eat. He had control over that. They couldn't force stuff down his throat that he didn't want to take. So Daniel personally committed himself to be holy in his own thought and actions, regardless of the pressures to conform to the ungodliness around him. In verse 8, it says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. That's the only, apparently the only thing that he could control in this situation. So he says, all right, they're not going to do that, make me sin against God. They're sinning by doing all these other things. That's not my fault. That's not my responsibility. The name they gave me and all that stuff, that's their problem. But what I eat, that's my responsibility. So he purposed that he wasn't going to eat the king's meat. Now, God then helped and eventually rewarded Daniel for this decision. This is an amazing thing. This guy is 17 years of age. He's under a tremendous amount of pressure. This is risky, very risky. But he's purposing to live for the Lord. The Lord brought Daniel into favor with his superior, who was the prince of the head of the eunuchs. in fulfillment of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7, where Solomon taught that when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a wonderful verse, incidentally, and that was something that Solomon wrote. So the best thing to do, if we have enemies or if we're threatened by enemies, the best thing to do is make sure that we purpose in our heart that we're going to live for the Lord. And it's amazing how much God can work in the hearts of other people. Well, when this official declined Daniel's request not to eat the king's unbiblical food for fear that it might cost him his life, Daniel asked the Babylonian guard immediately over him and his three Hebrew captives and friends to be allowed to take a 10-day test of eating only grains and vegetables versus the king's meat. Now, this would have been a reasonable request because they had 3 years before they had to appear before the king. 10 days, if it didn't work out, it's not a big deal. You're going to recover in plenty of time so that you'll look nice and healthy at the end of 10 years, 3 years. So Daniel asked just for 10 days to see what would happen. And he asked it for him and his three Hebrew captives and friends that they take the 10-day test of eating only grains and vegetables versus the king's meat. The King James says pulse, and normally most of the commentaries that say that it's talking about vegetables or lentils. It's actually, pulse is the word that refers to things with that grow with grains. Vegetables grow with grains. Grain grows with grains. They grow out of seeds rather than other things. Well, 10 days was a fraction of the 3 years of preparation for the young man. We're being prepared in order to meet the king. The young men, rather, not man. We're being prepared to meet the king. The guard readily consented to Daniel's request, and Daniel and his three friends passed the test with God's obvious help. You know, to eat nothing but vegetables and grains in 10 days and to appear to be much healthier than those who are on meat just after 10 days, obviously God had to be involved. So Daniel was living by faith in the Lord at this particular point. So the guard took away the king's food from these three young men and gave them grains and vegetables to eat. He knew it would stand in his favor. If these guys kept looking like this, just eating vegetables and grain, fine. Well, the final test involved Daniel and his three Hebrew friends being examined by King Nebuchadnezzar himself. Babylon's king found them to be 10 times better than not only other Hebrew captives, but better than even the established magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. Now, these magicians and enchanters, yes, they were involved in paganism, but this was a class of men. They were also known for being wise and wise counselors. So these were important men. So for these young men, these guys who had been right around in their 20s, to pass these other guys, some of them are 60, 70 years of age, as far as adept mental acumen and also wisdom, that was really something that was of the Lord. So Daniel in particular was found to excel in knowledge and understanding and all kinds of literature and learning, and to have special insight into understanding visions and dreams of all kinds. Now we're going to find out later on he has the gift of prophecy. So it's no contest. He can, you know, he can beat all these other pagan men because they're not spiritual prophets like Daniel was. But nevertheless, the Lord gave him understanding in all kinds of literature. And Daniel, that three-year period of time, he was reading. He was reading, and he was learning a lot of information. Consequently, God enabled Daniel to last in positions of influence, not only in the Babylonian court, but also in the Persian court that replaced Babylonian rule. And he lasted until the first year of Persia's King Cyrus, when the first wave of Hebrew captives returned from the captivity. You'll remember when we were going through the book of Ezra, upstairs we're going through it, in Ezra chapter 1, 1 to 4, the first year of Cyrus was the year when he decreed that all those who were interested in Israel to return to the nation Israel. So Daniel actually lived. Now we know that he served because in the second or the third year of Cyrus he had a final vision. So he lived beyond that, but apparently Daniel was so old and he was so deeply involved in the administration in Persia that the king probably didn't want him to go back. So he didn't make it back with the other captives, but the Lord told him, we're going to find out in Daniel chapter 12, that he would die, But in the resurrection, he would stand in his own inherited lot back in Israel. So he was looking forward to the resurrection when he would get to go back home. So far, Daniel still hasn't gone back home. I mean, he's in heaven. But someday he's going to be back home where he was taken captive when he was 17 years of age. And he was of the king's seed. Daniel was of the seed of David. He's one of the princes under David. So keep that in mind. He's of the seed of David. So he's going to go back, and he'll probably be in Jerusalem. And, of course, Judah is just north. The tribe of Judah is just north of Jerusalem in the Messianic kingdom. So Daniel will probably be in that territory. Anyway, the lesson is, though facing a variety of unwelcome traumatic pressures to conform to an ungodly pagan culture, and that at a young age, Daniel purposed in his heart to think and to do what honored the Lord. And God helped and greatly blessed him throughout his long life. So though we may face many godless pressures to conform to ungodliness, over which pressures we have no control, since God will still bless us if we purpose in our hearts to think and to do what is godly, or we have the power to do so, may we purpose to obey the Lord regardless what godless pressures we face. And then even if we are young, may we stay committed to following the Lord regardless of peer pressures for God's great blessing. I remember when I first went into high school, I was 14 at the time, my mom talked to me. She said, all right, the grades that you're making now are going to follow you throughout your life. They're going to determine whether you can get into college or not. So be careful and work hard. And also, she and other teachers are telling us the decisions that you're making now are going to affect you for the rest of your life. So this is a serious, this is a time to be serious, because you're setting a pattern right now for what you're going to be. You are becoming now what you will be when you're in your 30s and 40s and whatnot. And I look back on it, boy, they were dead right. And I look at friends that I've had going back to youth and so forth, so many decisions that we made back there in our teens and even in our 20s have had a traumatic effect on the rest of our lives. So I know we have a number of younger adults and younger people in our church. I just want to encourage you to follow Daniel. Boy, if you make that decision to serve the Lord and live for the Lord courageously, God will bless you. And it will set you in good stead for the rest of your life, believe me.